dispensation, the power, the authority. Mm. Hallelujah. Well, once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for all of those that have participated in the invite each other thing, whatever you call that. We should have come up with a fancy name. Host the Family Month. Okay. Okay, they want to keep going? Well, that's great. Just keep doing it then. Don't let anybody get in your way. Hallelujah. We're glad that Mom and Dad, but especially Mom, is back. She went into the hospital for her annual lube or whatever it was that she did. I don't know exactly, but thank God she's out. This time she'll stay out. What else? I told you I was good for one. Okay. Are you ready to hear from the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
So am I. So am I. Hallelujah. So am I. That's one of the things that's getting better. I'm excited because I get to show up and I get to hear fresh what the Lord's saying. I really do. I really mean that. Let's pray. Father, you heard the desire of our heart. We want to hear from you this morning. We said it loud. We said it long. We want to hear from you. Reveal yourself. You said where two are gathered in your name, you would be there. That's a covenant that you will not break. We're here to exalt you, to hear from you, to exalt your kingdom and your work, your will. Therefore, you are required at this meeting. We hunger and thirst after you. Reveal yourself this morning in ways that we've never heard, never seen. And for these things, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue in the statements of faith. Let's see, she mentioned, I kind of wish she had gone ahead and said it, but because I spent a long time on the phone with Steve at least three different times yesterday. So I got a whole lot more than she heard. Or he got a whole lot more, whichever way you want to look at it. But the last call, let me tell you about some of the things he told us. And Steve is a man of many words. So you just stay with him until you hear something good. Kind of like all of us, right? You hang in there and you wait because you know the Lord's going to speak. And I know in one point the Lord began to speak through him and he said, Stan, I know. If I know anything in the world, I know. And he began to speak of my calling and this calling, the calling of this church. He began to say how the Lord is going to add to this church greatly. And I mean the word was a lot bigger than greatly over the next year. Well, we already knew that, didn't we? But it's nice to have it confirmed. One of the things that will benefit you greatly is he spoke to me. He said, I've known for years, but I know about more now than ever before, that your calling is to reveal truth that has not yet been revealed. Can you believe that God would choose someone to do that? And he would choose you to be a part of that. Isn't that amazing? He said, you'll be able to reveal things in different ways because God has to do a different thing. He's tired of the old thing. He wants to do a new thing. And the only way he can get the people's attention is to do a new thing. So if you want to know why I see things differently, you just blame God. If I say them differently, give God glory. Don't blame him. That's a lousy way to say it. You just say, give him more so God can accomplish his work more. Amen? Just remember, God can use any old jackass, so I'm not exalting myself. I know what he can do. I know what he will do. We're going to talk a little bit this morning. Oh, and then there's the stars. Okay. He called last night about the time I was ready to go to sleep. And he told Connie, he said, get both of you on the phone, which that's a first, isn't it? And he said, I was preparing to see. I was setting up a camera to watch this, whatever. Yeah, depends on how you describe it. The meteor shower was going to come from Leo, the constellation, Leo, the lion. It's coming from the eastern sky. You realized that, didn't you? And he said, I'm going to just cut it real short. Basically, here's what he said. He said, a star came from the eastern sky to reveal Jesus Christ. And now, in the time and the fullness of times, as many as 7,000 stars, what was it, a minute or an hour? I forget what the news said because the news said it. As many as 7,000 an hour will be revealed. And that is the sons of Jesus Christ being revealed. Are you hearing me? showering the earth with the Lord's presence, being revealed, being exposed in the sky, something that cannot be hidden, that must be revealed. Now that you understand, the only way you're going to get excited, did I miss something? That was real short. Okay. The only way you're going to get excited about this is to put all the words together and know that God's doing a new thing fast. He's not doing it slow. He's doing a new thing fast. And you remember that several years back, I even told you about a vision that God gave me, that He was going to visit the church is the right word. Let's just put it this way, that there was going to be an explosion inside the body of Christ, in individual churches. And the pastors were going to be blown away, and the church was going to keep right on going on. Are you hearing me? This is a new thing, a very new thing that God's going to do. He's not in the business of revealing what He's going to do 1 minute before He does it. He reveals it sometimes generations before He does it, sometimes years, sometimes months, sometimes weeks. And I'm telling you, I've got many visions. I've recommitted myself to the visions that God has given me over the last 10 years or so. I know I'm going to see them come true. And if you guys will stick around and invite people, you will not believe what you see. And if I told you all of it, you still wouldn't believe it. That's what Scripture says. Even if I told you, you wouldn't have believed it. Can I just be bold? I'm tired of singing, I'm in a mighty army, or I'm part of a mighty army, and not acting mighty. It's time for the children of God to act like they're somebody. Act like they hear from the God of the universe. And they're not afraid to share it with anybody. Amen? They're not afraid to tell people what God tells them and act like their life depended on it, because it does. Now, God's going to do mighty things. Just, I told you once before, God gave me a vision about being on the roller coaster. You remember that? He said, get in the ride, buckle a seatbelt, pull down the shoulder straps. I am the ride. You're going to be upside down. You're going to be right side up. You're not going to know sometimes where the ground is. But you trust me, you're riding in me. Okay? I'm excited about this stuff. I am. I'm not willing to grow old peacefully. I'm telling you, I've got way too much experience and mileage to let it go somewhere and not be used. That's not God's will. All right. Now that I got off all that on my chest, listen to this. We're speaking of statements of faith. And I firmly believe that God is dearly excited about this. I really believe this. I wasn't too sure when I got started, but I know now. He's excited about us proclaiming absolute truth. Absolute truth. It's been a long time since our God has heard His people speak in absolute truth. His people have been political. They've been trying to save other people's feelings. And yet they've been hurting the feelings of God. We got to get ourselves lined up. Correct. The correct is I don't care about people's feelings. I care about God. Let Him worry about their feelings. He's the only one that understands them anyway. All right, statements of faith. Number one, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? We must find somebody that their heart is after God. And we must agree that they're after the same God that I'm after. And then we can walk together. Number two, there is a real hell. See, we don't have to convince the church about heaven. They've been trying to go there ever since they were born. To hell with the earth, I'm going to heaven. That's the way they've said it. Well, let's drop that for a while. I got a little news for you. I don't think we're going anywhere. I think we were given dominion on this earth, and that's where we're going to stay. So we better get lined up and start now if we're going to turn it back into heaven. There is a real hell. It is not on the face of this earth. Hydrogen and atomic and nuclear bombs are not going to turn it into hell. It's already been prepared. It's described in the Bible where it's at. It's been there for eternity. It will be there for eternity. And it is prepared for those that rebel against the will of God. I don't care if they call them Christians, agnostics, or atheists. If they serve Allah, Buddha, or whatever, it is prepared for those that rebel against the one true God. That is an absolute. Say amen. It's an absolute. Now, in case you want to know, if you don't amen, we may have to find out if you're alive, okay? I refuse to be the only one alive in this room. Next, we'll get Sparky and give him some life, huh? All right. Number three, there is a law of repentance. It is required for all. Nobody's going to heaven without working their salvation out, and it's going to be through repentance. A constant, ongoing change, that's called repentance, in our lives. I can feel the heart of God just leaping when we talk about wanting to change. We have to want to change, not just be required, but we have to want to change. Amen? Thank God for new things. We're going to start with the number four today. This is going to take a few weeks, I can promise you. Not because I'm slow, because you're hard-headed. Maybe it's because I'm long. Whichever way it is, it's going to take more than probably today. And I promise you that way I can keep it a little shorter if I plan to cover it over a little more time. We're going to start in the study of covenant today. We are not going to start it in the way that you've heard it. Whatever that is, I refuse to go that way. All right? I'm not going to go that way because I think God wants a new thing. Let me make some basic statements. I may never even get around to these notes. Well, let me read the little bit of definition that I've got. A covenant is an agreement between two based on a defined contract or law pledged under a seal or a sign. You got it? In this covenant or agreement, the benefits are defined by the law, and so are the penalties. A covenant is forever, or, let me step on your toes right quick, or until one of the two parties breaks the agreement. At that point, it is impossible to continue the covenant because the covenant requires two to operate. At the point that the covenant is broken, law takes effect. I want to point that out. The law is not the covenant. The covenant is your response to the law. Okay? You break the covenant, the law takes effect. You don't want that because law kills. We know that, right? All right. The problem being, all will operate under the law, either the covenant written by God, explained in His word and will, or under the contract given by Satan, defined by his act of rebellion and his sentence of eternal punishment, levied by the God of the universe. Being that he was the first covenant breaker, we follow him into the punishment part of God's law. Oh, that's a long statement. Let's see if we can go into it. Let me give you a couple of things right off the bat. Number one, that is not the covenant. I'm going to say it to you again. That is not the covenant. That is a fulfillment of Jesus' covenant. It is not the covenant. Jesus made a covenant with God the Father and He fulfilled it on the cross. But I'm going to tell you something. That is not law and it's not covenant. Jesus' death was not your covenant. You can't move into His covenant. I don't know how the church got the idea that because Jesus sacrificed something, I never have to, so I can just slip in under the banner of what Jesus promised to God and fulfilled. And this is not going to fly real well, but I'm just going to tell you over and over. I'm going to say it in many different ways. If you think that you're going to heaven by something that Jesus did, you're making a mistake. Because it would cover everybody and everybody would go. Now, I'm pretty sure I could get burned at the stake if I preach this too loud. I'm just pretty sure of it. But I'm going to say it as the truth anyway. I wouldn't last if I did it. I'm going to tell you something. Unless we enter into the same covenant that Jesus did with God the Father, we can never partake of the blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father refused to do what He wanted to do. He did only what God told him to do, and that was his covenant, and he fulfilled it. And therefore, he paid the ultimate price. He paid the final sacrifice. Another sacrifice will never, ever apply except ours. I'd like to stand in every church in the world and say this openly. And maybe I will one day. I don't know. But it takes more than the blood of Jesus. It takes mine. And I don't mean I've got to be put on the cross and I've got to bleed and die. Because that, the one-time act that Jesus took on Himself fulfilled the law in the New Testament, which required blood constantly. Now, I will say that. But what we've been studying is that salvation is an ongoing thing. Therefore, my blood must be given to Jesus Christ as His was given to me, or there's not a fulfilled covenant. The very definition of covenant, I'll give you the Oxford Dictionary. It's an agreement or a contract, a law drawn up under a seal. Number three, the agreement between God and the Israelites. That's you and I. The Strong's definition is a compact or a contract made by passing between two pieces of flesh, a confederacy, a league, an alliance, a constitution, a divine ordinance, to feed, to render clear, to create, to make fat, to shape or form, or to cut down. It does all of those. But you listen to me carefully. It is made by passing between two pieces of flesh. Now, that's the only definition that we could come up with. The true definition is there's something has to pass between God and I. Nobody goes to the Father except through the Son. We know that. We're not going to take down the authority of Jesus Christ. That is not my goal. My goal is to try to get people to quit hiding in it. To expose themselves to God the Father. The law. And the will of God, which is great. Tremendous. Quit stop being afraid of that. Do you know that the church kind of has theology that we should be afraid of God if it weren't for Jesus Christ? What a bunch of nonsense. I'm telling you, if you'll read the Old Testament, you'll see more about grace and mercy in the Old Testament than you will in the New. You just hear about it more in the New Testament. You see it more in the Old Testament. And if you'll think about it, that was what was necessary. I no longer have to hide from anybody or anything because of what Jesus did. Grace and mercy is quickly applied because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. I like the word they used, interceding. That means explaining sometimes why I'm so dumb. That's what that really means. Why I blew it once again. But you know what He's not doing? He's not being crucified again. His explanations is not His crucifixion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Our covenant, listen to me. Jesus made a covenant with the Father. I will die to you. I will die for you. There is no other way to live. And there is no other way to give life. That was Jesus' covenant to the Father. And then after He completed that covenant, He turned to us and said, "Now take up your cross and follow Me." That means you got your own covenant to handle. I paved the way. I paid the way. But you still have a covenant. Everybody understand me so far? Where we're going to go is this. I want to know, we've got a hero named Jesus Christ. He showed us how to obey His Word. Well, what He really showed us was that His Word was an obedience to God. And how to obey what He agreed to. Okay? Well, rather than ask you a bunch of questions, let me ask you a few. How good is your Word? How good is your Word? When I was sitting this week with the CEO of that company, I found out this is not sarcasm, he's a good Baptist guy. So that gives me a direction. And so when we're not talking business, if it gets quiet, we're going to talk business. Right? And I said to him, I described to him the time when Desiree was dying on my den floor with asthma. Absolutely having the devil take her breath away. And I had committed, listen to me, I gave her to the Lord. When she was born, I gave her to the Lord. Listen to me carefully. I gave her to God. Most people back up on that word the minute there's trouble. They will rush her to the doctor and give her to the doctor. Are you hearing me? This may be harsh. I'm not trying to be mean. Nobody's going to hold you to my beliefs. You understand that? The good, cool part about the new covenant is now God writes His law on your hearts and minds, and that means it's applicable when God requires, not when I require. Okay? I described to him, and Harry described his miracle. I described mine about the burn to him, because I asked him if he believed in miracles, because if you don't believe in miracles, you can't believe in salvation. Right? And I said, when my daughter was laying on that floor and I bent over, I said, God, I gave her to you and I won't take her back. If it's time for you to take her, then you can have her. But if it's not time, your word says she's to be healed now. And that's the only two things that I will allow to happen. I will allow her to be healed. I will allow her you to take her. But that's it. Nothing else. We'll not continue in this misery. And she's not going to do it. She's not going to continue in misery by spending the rest of her life going to a doctor. Amen. You can't find that in the Word, so I'm not going to go there. And I said, she was healed. What else did you expect? You've read the Bible. What else could you expect? Now, the man looked at me and he said, yeah, but God doesn't always do that. I said, that's the problem with the church. What you just said is you don't trust God to back up His Word. That's what you just said. And I said, there's nowhere in the Bible you can show me that you can prove that to be true. But I can prove you all through the Bible that what I said is true. I said, the church is full of people that don't trust each other because they don't trust God. I said, you've got a bunch in your church, probably most, that you can't even trust. He said, I trust them. I said, well, good, hand them your billfold. Give them your checkbook. Let's see if you trust them or not. Well. All of a sudden, guys, see, God has a way of putting your fire to the feet when you say things. Because the way you make a covenant is you say things. How good is your word? My question to you is, how good is your word? Let me tell you how God works. So then I said to him, do you trust me? Yes. Will you give me your billfold? He said, yes. Surprised me. I should have got it. Should have come home with it, shouldn't I? I said, I appreciate that. You know what I really appreciated? What God was doing right there in that room. That's what I was really appreciating. That God was breaking down walls and creating a trust factor. Before I left there, I said, I've got a son that's going to be stationed about 20, 30 miles from here. You got a bed for me? Yes, I do. God's going to do things. I'm telling you. God find a good man with even half a belief. He'll work on him. Now listen, how good is your word? I asked you this a long time ago, I'm going to ask you again. If my salvation was as sure as your word, would it be hell for me? Come on, let's forget God just for a second. Let's look at each other. Do you do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it? How good is your word? And if my life depended upon your word, would I be dead meat? Because that's what God's asking us now. That's what God's going to be asking us the whole time we're going to study covenant. He wants a faithful people, a steadfast people, a people that once they say to Him, I will, He knows He's got them. Now this is not a dangerous thing. This is safe as can be. This is the most safe place in the world. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to show you how safe this place is. Everybody got the question now? Because I'll probably be saying it a couple more times. I'm going to read you a lot today. Forgive me, but that's kind of the way God led me to go today. This study will be the hardest that we have, that we've ever gone through for me to explain. Maybe for you to understand. But once we do it, we're going to find out it's so simple we can't figure out where we missed it. I just prophesy that. You'll struggle with it a little bit. Don't back away from me. And if you don't understand, say something, because we're going to go over it until we do. I pray to God that our minds will be purged and we are retaught by God's truth and not by religion's truth. Ask God, before you come to church, right now, the rest of your life, ask God for revelation that is far beyond anything that you've ever understood before. Now, you didn't act like a mighty army right then. You acted like the kitchen staff instead of the infantry. I'm going to say it again. Ask God for revelation that's far beyond anything that you've ever understood before. Now you guys, you smiled when I said that God healed Desiree. You know why? I hate to be rude, because it's far beyond what most of you will ask for. Now come on. What I want us to do is look to God to give us the courage and the direction to ask for things that are beyond us. Not what I ask you to ask for. Don't you ever believe what I believe. That's my covenant. That's my law that's written on my heart. It's a personal thing between me and God. I'm commanded to God to get up and proclaim His Word and His law. But you are commanded by God to seek Him and hunger and thirst after Him, not me or what I'm doing. So please don't let there be any guilt trips here. You must understand that God began a work in me when I was a little kid, and I had no idea what it was, but He did. And He's far from being finished. And therefore, my expectation must be great. Come on. My expectation must be great, or I cannot fulfill the call that He has on my life. Without this truth, I want you to listen carefully, you will never understand the true walk and the fantastic life that comes from making a covenant, an everlasting agreement with the only contract in law, God Himself. And here's the cool part. Guided by the living and written Word, Jesus Christ. We get the entire... See, about as big a word as we can find is universe. Do you know that? And yet He's far beyond that. I just don't know what else to call it. So I'm going to say He's... We have the government of the universe. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to provide for us, to care for us, to fight for us, if we can only get into agreement with Him. Now, what is agreement with Him? God stands... Do you understand that God stands for everything that's good? There's not one bad particle in God. Not one mistake. I'm going to move on. I'll come back to that. We must first understand that God is law. He is life. Listen carefully. He is love. He is beauty. He is joy. He is peace. He is health. He is wealth. He's understanding. He's light. He is wisdom. He is success. He is vision. He's excitement. He's powerful. And He is power. He's bold and boldness. Listen to me carefully. He is the only reason for living. He's life, and that more abundantly. We look to no other source, and if we do, we're a fool. Am I being absolute enough here, Harry? I think I'm being pretty straight. Would you say that? Okay. The reason we are seeking to honor our covenant with God is because when we honor that promise, that agreement, that contract, He is everything I just mentioned to me. The fullness of my covenant with Him, let me say it differently, the fullness of the law, the goodness of the law, the life of the law, is real to me when I enter into covenant with God the Father. All right. Let me back up a little bit. I saw some funny looks at me. How can I say this? God is heaven and He's hell. I don't know how else to say. They both came from Him. Do you understand that? Christians don't want to talk like that, but He's heaven and He's hell. Hell didn't just evolve out of a big boom theory or a sun, another sun that was encapsulated by another protoplasm that moved into multicell and created dirt. It's so foolish, I don't want to learn how to say that. God created hell for Satan and those that follow Satan or rebel against God. That's what it was created for. God Himself created that. There's another thing that God created. A free will. If we could just understand one thing. You see, I don't want anybody in this room to follow me or like me because they have to. That is absolutely worthless. It is no value to me at all. How much more so God? God didn't want to create a bunch of zombies that just walked around praising all day long. Like a bunch of boobs. He gave them a free will. to follow whomever they wanted. As Satan, he gave that free will also. Satan blew it and he fell. That was the exposing of the first act of sin. Not Adam and Eve, Satan himself. Don't try to get that mixed up or never mind. Just believe what I said. Listen to me now. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death. This is God speaking. I have set before you life and death. Go on. This is God speaking. I give you a choice. By my word, you will live or you will die. Your choice. Now, God spoke that. He spoke that. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. Yes. Now we know the will of God. We don't have to look any further. We now know the absolute will of God. He wants us to choose life, and that more abundantly as we find out later, that both you and your descendants may live. So it's not just for us, it's for our children and our children's children. According to the Bible, 1,000 generations. That's His desire. If you want to do some eschatology or some whatever you want to call it, you might just look and see when we're going to hit the 1,000th generation. It might be the day that Jesus returns. But let's don't go there. We've got too many other important things to deal with. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. Not Him cling to you. You cling to Him. For He is your life. He is the length of your days. Didn't I just tell you that He's the only reason for living? He is your life. He is the length of your days. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now you see, we know the heart of God right now. You don't ever have to ask anybody what their opinion about the heart of God is. You already know it. First, it's heaven and hell. He gives you the choice. That's your choice. Then He describes to you some good and some bad. And then He says, please, if you got a brain cell in your head, choose life. And He gives us more promises, and He spends nearly the rest of the Bible speaking to that. That's how dense we are sometimes. You've got to write a whole Bible to tell us that He's good. Right? All right. We understand that God is law and He is life. I described to you all the good things, did I not? To turn our backs on Him is to turn to lawlessness, death, hate, ugliness, anger, turmoil, disease, poverty, confusion, darkness, deception, failure, blindness, boredom, weakness, fear, no good reason for living, and no direction. Why did you list all of that? We are to be wise as serpents. The only way you can be wise to the serpent is to recognize these things in people so that you can now speak truth to them. To covenant with God, His word or contract, His will, His Son Jesus, His Spirit that resides with us, is to agree with the full contract. Listen carefully. Christians, you haven't heard this very much, I'm going to tell you again. To covenant with God. Anybody here want to covenant with God? Yeah. All right, listen. To covenant with God, His word, our contract, His will, His Son Jesus, His Spirit, is to agree with the full contract. We agree with both faces of His law, good and bad. Now here's the hard part that churches have. They got this little slogan called good news. And then they put their own definition to it. And then they'll say, but if we don't preach just the good news, we're preaching bad news, and that's not God. Well, you must not read the Bible very much. Because there's some bad news in there. And I don't think God did anything bad. So let's quit calling God's report to us bad. And let's quit being ashamed when we tell people what's going to happen to them or what's already happened to them and give them a remedy. His law tells us good and bad. Does it not mention heaven and hell? Does it not mention life and death? We have to agree, people. You have to agree that there's hell. You know what else? Here's the tough part. You have to agree that some people are going there. And you have to not lose sleep over it. Because God doesn't lose sleep over it. Why do you have to do that, Stan? Our hell will drag you down. The weight of other people will drag you down. The Bible says you must learn to cast your cares upon Him and let Him do the caring for you. Right? All right. We have to agree that the whole aspect, the whole face of the law, we agree with. Let me tell you, I'm going to say it again. It's vitally important when you are dealing with friends, loved ones, whatever, that you must let them go into the law. You cannot protect them from the law. You cannot protect me from Jesus Christ, and you cannot protect me from hell. You can give truth. You can give truth. You can give truth. It will still be up to me what I do with it. Okay? And when you think you've done all you can do for that person, then you move on. It's the law of God. Jesus did all He could do, and He moved on. It doesn't mean it's over for them. It just means it's over for you, for them. Turn them over to somebody else or something else. You're not God. Don't try to be God. To obey God, His Word, His will, our agreement to obey God, His will, His word, our agreement to obey God and His will and His word is to enter into the blessings of the contract. I'm going to say this about 20 times different ways. I'm promising you. It's going to get boring before I get through. And then you're going to hear it more and more. But we're going to get this down. We're going to get it down. If I intend to have a good life, I must make a covenant with God, and I must honor that covenant with every breath and ounce of life that's in me. It must be the most important thing that I ever do in my life. It must be more important than me. It must be more important than my wife. It must be more important than my job. It must be important, more important than the last thing I told you I would do. What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that everything must take a far second to your covenant with God. You must learn to meditate on that covenant. You must learn to seek the contract that's involved in that covenant, which is the Word of God. You must learn the little details. You must hunger and thirst and desire God's presence, His mind, His emotions, His will. Well, why, Stan? Because that's where the good life comes from. That's where the good life comes from. If we are being men and women of our Word. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. If you're a man and woman of your Word to God, you will be to other people. Because there's a little contract, there's a little place in the law that says, thou shalt not lie. By the way, it doesn't say, unless it makes people feel better. It doesn't say that. It says, thou shalt not lie. Okay. I wish I had a big sign up here, real childlike, that said, God is good, Satan is bad. Because I think sometimes we forget. We forget how simple this whole thing is. God is good. Everything that is good is from God. Everything that will ever be good is from God. God can only be good. He can only be good all the time. He can never be bad. God is good. There's the other side. Satan is bad. He can never be good. There's no good in him. Satan is a lie. There is no truth in him. Satan is a liar. Those that follow Him look like Him. Too simple? It's the way it is. It's the way it is. There's nothing complicated about this. Now, I'm sitting here and I've got a choice. God says, follow me into the good things. Satan says, follow me and I got better things. And all we got to do is figure out and see who's telling us the truth. And say, you know what, God, I'm going to follow You all the days of my life. I like what I see. I like how I feel. I like what You've told me and how You've treated me. All the days of my life I'll do what You say. And then the other part of the covenant. Satan, you're a liar. There is no truth in you. I will never do what You want me to do. I will always be against You. Everything for you that you stand for, I will fight against. And God the Father's over here smiling, and He's dumping blessings on me. And He's saying, that's my kid. That's my kid. I'm proud of that boy. I'm going to exalt him. And the more he fights for me and against Satan, the more I'm going to exalt him. In Genesis, God saw a world that was without form and void. It had no value and it was bad. He created it into His likeness and image, having value and beauty and wealth and health, full of joy and peace, without sin and without death. If anybody ever questions you about was there death when Adam and Eve were created, the world was created in His likeness and image, and there's no death in Him. There's your answer. And there's no death in Him. Well, where did death come from? Sin. Sin is all death. It's the only place death comes from. Sin. He created man in His likeness and image, full of joy and power and value and wealth and health, and having no sin and death. And gave him dominion to rule and care for God's creation, to keep the earth and to tend the earth as God had planned. The Creator also created a free will. It's part of the earth. People, listen to me. The earth was created perfect. You and I were created perfect because we were created in His likeness and image. But He gave us a free will. Let me say something real wild to you. God could be bad if He wanted to. God could be bad if He wanted to. But He made a covenant. He said to Himself, if I ever lie, I'll have to kill myself. Do you know that's what He said in the Bible? If I ever lie, I'll have to kill myself. Didn't He say that? So now, He can't afford to lie. And He can't afford to do anything but good. Or He won't exist. Now that's about as wild as you can get. I won't get any wilder than that this morning. You don't have to follow me there if you want to, if you don't want to. But I'm telling you, free will came from somewhere. Did you hear what I said? Free will came from somewhere. Everything that we know right now has to come from something. Sin did not come from God, so it was never put on this earth. Sin entered through rebellion by Satan, right? What was rebellion? Satan made a covenant with God to honor Him. And he broke that covenant, and he fell.
Right.
Yeah, even with a sound effects. You ought to give some more. It's very effective. Okay, He created man in His likeness and image and gave him dominion. He created free will as exhibited in the fall of Satan. Therefore, since God is all good, He's the only good, to choose Him is to choose good. To choose Him is to choose good. To choose any other is to choose a lesser lifestyle, a lesser leader. There's two choices. You can divide it up into a lot of subheadings. But I'm telling you, there's only one God, and you will choose to serve Him, or you will choose to serve another God. That's it. That's the only two choices. I hate to break this down too simple, but that is it. Now, the subheading in choosing other gods could be other names of God, could be yourself, could be your children, could be your job, could be whatever you love, could be Allah, Buddha, could be all kinds of weird lesser gods, weird things. Could be trees, could be the environment. You can even love the earth and make it it's your mother. Please. Please. If you choose another God, you choose rebellion and death. Now let me be real blunt. To choose death over life is stupid. Don't keep that a secret. Don't keep it a secret. Share that thought with somebody. Share it. To choose death over life is stupid. Boy, this is... Probably Paul would love this gospel, wouldn't he? Yeah, he would. It's a sign of very limited intelligence. And you know why I can say that? Because the only intelligence that's on the face of this earth is the mind of Christ. And to choose any other mind shows that you are very limited in intelligence. I'm going to tell you, in not too distant future, you're going to begin to see those that love God be the brilliance in this earth. Are you hearing me? They are going to be the brilliant ones in this earth. People that choose to serve God are going to be so smart nobody can stand up, gainsay, or resist them. That's the bride that God's going to raise up in this earth. He's going to do it. All we have to do is make a good contract with Him. What's a good contract? One that both sides keep. That's a good contract. Okay. Recently, terrorist, who by the way made a covenant to follow a false god, felt that they were correct and righteous in killing those that disagree with their beliefs issued by their god. They're dying for their beliefs. They committed their lives to the cause of their god. We as a nation that follows and honors the true God said openly to the world, you choose sides. Remember that word. You need to tell people they need to choose sides. You are for us or against us. You are either for us or against us. Therefore, you are either for the true God or you are against the true God. I preach to you that it was now a war of gods. Do you remember that? Their God against ours. Let the best one win. And he will. And he is. He's making a show of them openly, right now. We've never fought a war in our lives where we didn't hardly put any soldiers in the ground, and the guys are giving up already. Even in the Gulf War, we put tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of soldiers on the ground. Remember? We didn't this time. Why? Maybe our president is wise enough. Maybe the people of God are wise enough to be praying for our president, and he knows that we don't have to. When we proclaim to the world, this is a war, our God against yours, we can now begin to set back and say, let's see. Maybe we're going to figure out how to win wars. You and I. That we understand when we're in covenant with the true God, it's a war between God and Satan, not us and Satan, or us and God. As we live and walk, as we decide on a daily basis which road to follow, we are making life and death choices. We must follow the true God to win. Please. I'm saying things here that are amazing. And they're so simple. I've never felt so overwhelmed with simplicity and power at the same time. Listen to me. I'm going to say it again. We must follow the true God to win. That goes for everybody that's ever been born and ever will be born. You must follow the true God to win. If you don't, you're always going to be a loser. We need to get wise enough and bold enough in ourselves that if we're acting like losers, we need to figure out where the covenant we're breaking. Where in the covenant are we breaking? Following our own wants, other false gods will put us into battles that we cannot win. Are you hearing me? Listen, I'm going to say it again. Those that fight against us and the true God cannot win. Why can't we learn just to sleep good in that? Why was I worried when I was praying over Desiree? What else could have happened? I was following the true God. I had to win. I just didn't know it quite so clear as I know it today. I'm going to tell you something. I can swell up like a toad and blood can squirt from every place it can squirt from. And I am healed. Do you hear me? And there is no other outcome that you can see or I can see. Because I've entered into a covenant with God. You hear me? And I have a promise from God that if I follow Him, not one thing in my body will fail before it's time. Time meaning, He don't need me here anymore. When we choose God, He fights to preserve His promises and laws. Now let me draw you a picture right quick. God created the universe. God is the law. God's Word is the law. Okay? His law is full of promises and threats. Let's just be honest. Promises and threats. Promises of every good thing we can imagine and promises of every bad thing we can imagine. That's what the law states. When we enter into a covenant with God, we enter into all of the law, but we only receive the good stuff. Now, we have to get mature to understand what's good and what's not good. That takes some work. I didn't promise you all chocolate cake. I'm just saying it's all good. The Bible directly says to us, count it all joy, does it not? Okay. God's Word needs to be defended. You and I proclaim it. We do not defend it. He does. It's His. It's His to defend, right? We proclaim it. We make a covenant with it. We stand on it. And He defends it. Don't fight people over God's Word. Proclaim it. And sit still. Watch the hand of God move. That's the way it works. If you go to fighting, you're going to get in the way. When we choose God, He fights to preserve His promises and laws. Our covenant and our obedience to that promise causes God to defend His Word and His honor concerning us. Now, my wife and I stood in front of witnesses one day and we made covenants to each other. are basically, let me say it the way it really is. There was a covenant written, and we entered into that covenant. Okay? Now, I expect her to abide by that covenant. I don't expect hiccups, accidents, oops, or anything else. I want you to be very clear about this. She's clear about it. You can bank on that. She's clear. There ain't going to be no flirtations. There's not going to be any winks. I said there's not going to be any accidents. There's not going to be any strange circumstances. None. They're not accepted. They're not tolerable. She expects the same of me. Now let me ask you this. What if I saw an outside force deciding to break that covenant against her will? What do you think I'm going to do? There's going to be some hurt things going on. I'm promising you. If there's a gun, they're going to be blown away. If there's a knife, they're going to be cut up. If there's a hammer, they're going to be made and prepared for cooking. I'm going to beat the steak. You hear me? And I'm going to do it with pride and vigor all at the same time. How much more so God? He wants me to stick by the covenant. But when He sees an outside source or force coming against that to break it against my will, I don't have to worry about whether He's going to fight for me or not. I just have to worry about if I'm going to get blood on me or not. Because I guarantee it's going to be some bloodshed and it won't be mine. And if you don't believe that, just watch how Jesus put His foot on the neck of the enemy. Not a good position. By choosing not to follow God, says we will follow another. Therefore, a false, rebellious power is defending our choice against an all-powerful God which cannot be defeated. Let's make a good choice. Can you be bold enough to say to somebody one day, when they're telling you they're right, you know you're right, can you look at them and say to them, soon you will know. Soon you will know. And as some of you know, one of the conversations I had with somebody left here recently, will you be man enough to come back to me and tell me when you finally find out you're wrong? How many of you are bold enough to do it? Hey, it's your word. Or maybe you've never made any promises to God, or maybe that's the problem. Maybe the blessings have no channel to flow through because there's never been a covenant. There's never been somebody that you look at God and say, I'll serve you all the days of my life. You've never made the covenant. Do you know God reminds you of the covenant? Often. Often. I was sitting in the hot tub the other day and all of a sudden there's just business opportunities all over. And I'm having a hard time. And I'm pushing them to one side. I'm saying, God, I want to meditate on you. I want to push them. And I'm pushing them away. They're not important. I don't care if they're a dollar or they're $1 million. I don't care. I'm not interested. I'm interested in you, God. That's how you get the blessings to flow. I know it is. And all of a sudden He asks me, just as clear, what if I give you this? And what if I give you that? And what if you end up with a ton of money in your bank account? And what if? Why do you think He's asking me that? Because you don't lie to God. By the way, if God ever asks you a question, don't even try to lie. It won't work. You'll open your mouth to lie and the truth will come out. He wanted to hear, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. He wanted me to hear, or wanted to hear me say, I love you, I'll serve you, this is not important, and I did. This is not important, that's not important, it makes no difference to me one way or the other. I'm going to serve you because that's where the blessing comes from. It does not come from business opportunities. It does not come from job promotions. It comes from God. Our covenant with God in action will dump blessings on you. Deuteronomy 28, as you follow God, the blessings will overtake you. If you don't follow God, the curses will overtake you. That's what it says. Okay, I'm nearly through. Nearly. I can skip that. I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the truth that is beyond our ability to understand. Okay? I want you to hang on and let God enlighten us. You know what happens when God enlightens us? He empowers us. You never get the enlightenment of God without the empowerment of God. What you will see after you get in your soul about the value of your word to Him is you will begin to see you walking up to people and they will change in your presence. You will change in your presence. Your desires and your emotions and your hunger and your thirst will change because of our statements of faith. I'm telling you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that morning. I've known anything in my entire life. You hang around here and you listen to this, you will not be the same when we finish. Because we're going to get bold enough to understand God has a desire to work through us. All He needs is a commitment. I can go apply for a job. They can offer me $1,000 a minute. And if I don't show up, I can't get no pay.
Right?
God offers me tremendous pay. And if I don't show up, I don't get it. Give yourself to God. Promise. I think the hardest thing I ever had to work through was the fear that missionaries put on me. That if you ever committed yourself to God, you'd end up as some missionary in the wildest place in the world. That's a crock. That's the biggest bunch of bunk. You give yourself to God and you're going to end up being provided for greatly wherever He says, yes, but you will be provided for greatly. And it will seem like the only place you should be. Give yourself to God so strongly that you can promise Him that anything He says you will do and you mean it. And then He's going to test you. Probably in the next week or two, we're going to talk about something about the covenant is not a covenant until it's tested. You're not even sure about your covenant until it's tested. Okay? Oh, that'll be exciting. Covenant yourself to Him and watch the signs and wonders follow. Do not take Him serious and watch defeat follow. God is the law. The law is already written and explained in His Word and spoken by the Holy Spirit in His will. To covenant with God is to covenant or promise and agree to obey His contract and His Word. Not loosely, obey. I have the heart of God in this. I will not accept mistakes from her concerning our covenant. The world says it's okay. The flesh says it's okay. The devil highly encourages it. Me, since I have the mind of Christ and the heart of God, I don't accept it. I will not accept it. You break the covenant and you're going to meet the wrath of God. Okay? That makes a tremendous relationship. Do you understand how good a relationship can come out of that? There's nothing hidden. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I can totally trust her. She can totally trust me. I don't have to keep separate bank accounts from her. Don't tell her about this money that I've got over here. Because you know what's going to happen? If she breaks that covenant, guess who's going to back me up? She don't have to worry about me. Well, she may for a minute or two. But God will protect me even from that. But He won't protect her. Now, how much more so God and the bride of Christ? How much more so? We don't promise to be loyal and chaste and a virgin to Him and go whoring and then wonder why the blessings don't come. All will come under the law of blessings or curses. You need to choose sides. Be serious. It is life and death for you and your future generations. Once again, a covenant is made. The statement of faith, the covenant is made. It has to be made. You will make a covenant with something. That's the one thing that I'm not going to go any further in. You will covenant with something. You will covenant to cherish yourself, your own will, your own way, your own value all the rest of your life. You'll make a covenant that your value is nothing in the sight of God except what He says it is. Now, I tell you what, I can be the biggest, boldest, most egotistical, most flashy, most rich guy in the whole world, and I'm nothing without God. And you know what? If I'm in God, I don't have to be all those. I already am. I don't have to work at it. I am pretty. I am handsome. I am smart. I am a force to deal with. Don't sing about the mighty army if you don't believe that He meant that when He said it. And He meant it of you. I'm sick and tired of being a member of a church that doesn't believe that you are powerful. That only the preacher's powerful. What a crock. Man, I'll tell you what, that preacher wasn't even there when I gave my heart to God. I was in the restroom. He wasn't there. I didn't want Him there, by the way. And every time there's been a serious crisis for a serious decision, there wasn't no preacher around. That's why we got to take care of serious business right here, right now. And it's got to be real. If you want the Holy Spirit to minister to you as one that sticks closer than a brother, you better make sure your covenant is sure and real right now. Because that's the only way you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and talk to cartoon characters. He doesn't come and talk to the unfaithful. He doesn't come and talk to the totally immature. He talks to those that are worth talking to, and they will listen. Everybody believe God's at least that smart? Okay. I'm telling you, I don't know if you feel this or not, but I know this is one of the most important things we will study. I know, I'm going to tell you again, if you can get a hold of this, forget this getting a hold of it. If you can make it real in your life, that means you are now liable for everything you tell God, and you know it and He knows it. It'll create a freeway of blessings. Now, I've been tested, and I'm going to be tested again. I predict that the next test that I go through will be millions. Are you hearing me? Will be millions. It won't be dollars. It'll be millions of dollars. I've been tested in nearly every area that's imaginable. I have one big hurdle to go through. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't even have to go through it because my mind is made up. Now, God may have to test me. That's fine. But my mind is made up. It could be it could be millions of people. It could be millions of dollars. It could be millions of accolades, applause. It's not important. It's not important. Can we make a covenant to God that if all we were, the only reason we were placed on this earth is to minister to one person, it's enough? Because that is the truth. If we're put here to just touch one person, it's enough. It's worth it. But I don't think God, if He can find a faithful person, He's not going to stop with one. Man, if He can find a good tool, He's going to use it. If He can find a good bride, He's going to glorify and magnify him, her. Now let me tell you the rest of the story and we're through. You make the covenant real, you make it true, and you can't stop the blessings. You know what else you can't stop? The challenges. The challenges being, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That everything that I lay my hand to prospers. The challenge that God's going to put on you. That I have the sick and needy and I want you to minister to them. And here's the challenge. Me? Come on, let's get real. That's the challenge. Me? Because we still don't believe God, even about ourselves. And so, the end of the beginning of this service is this. I'm beginning to believe God about myself. That's taken a lot of pushing and shoving. It's taken a lot of things. It's been tested on every turn, every time. Let me tell you something. Every time I tried to make a move towards God in righteousness and holiness and covenant with Him, I've been called stupid, a liar, no good, sinner. This old thing's on you, all of this nonsense. And you know what? The world is not on my shoulders. God is on my shoulders. And He's holding the world. What do I mean by that? He doesn't have any legs except mine. Here's the challenge. You remember, God showed me this earlier. You remember I told you I was going down the road, coming to church kind of late, boogity, 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 you know. This has been a while back. And I saw that Lutheran? Episcopal Lutheran church over there, just like I saw everything else. And remember, God said, stop, pray for the preacher. And you're going, what? And I'm driving, I'm in a hurry. And my words to him, can I be stupid in front of you? I don't have time. I've got to be at the church. This is his church. I would think that I'd be smart enough to know that if he told me to stop for a while, he really probably has a better plan. And it probably not all depending upon me. And then I just kept right on going, like a lot of us do. And he said, you got to stop. And I said, no, I don't. Who's driving this car anyway? Now, I didn't say that openly, but that's what it boils down to. And I go up, I don't know, a couple of miles, more. Finally, I make a U-turn right in the middle of the road, and Connie's up against the window. She says, what are you doing? What did you forget this time? And I said, well, God told me to do something. I got to go do it before I get beat up. Right? I can't handle this. When God puts pressure on you, don't try to handle it and don't try to stand up to it. It's not possible. It's not possible for the enemy. It's not possible for you. Just do what he tells you to do. It's just a test anyway. And I go back and I drive up there and man, like a crazy man. I walk back and open that door. There's nobody there, but it's early. And I'm going, I'm walking through the church and I don't see anybody. Anybody home? It's not exactly the way to do it. And I finally walk back towards the back and there I found him in an office. And he's kind of going, I probably had a little bit of John the Baptist look in my eyes about that moment, you know? Maybe I had a little honey or locust hanging out. I don't know. He said, what can I do for you? I said, God sent me here to pray for you. I didn't want a response. I didn't even give him a chance. And I said, so that's what I'm going to do. Do you mind? No. And I began to pray like a crazy charismatic in a Lutheran or Episcopalian church. And I prayed for that man. I prayed for his ministry. I prayed that that morning God would reveal himself in that place and turn it upside down. There's no telling what he thought I was talking about. And I prayed strong, and I prayed not long, just hard. And I said, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, mister. Thank you for your time. Here's my card. If you ever need anything, let me know. Because I didn't want to argue. I didn't want a response. I just wanted to do what God told me to do. Okay, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to go up to one of those hotel rooms that God says a certain number, knock on the door and say, God has sent me here to minister to you? How about you? One of the workers or one of the contractors or one of the employees or even the customer or the boss? Was I timid with the CEO of that company? That guy could have probably bought me and sold me and not even felt it. I don't care. I don't care. I'm learning something. I don't care. I don't care if it's a pauper or a prince. I don't care if it's a king. I don't care who it is. I've got to operate in the fact that God is in me. My covenant is strong and it's real. That means I have the mind of Christ. That means that no weapon formed against me will prosper. That means I can walk into a buzzsaw and get it saved if God says so. I can go to the Pope if God says so, and he'll fall on his knees and repent. Woo-hoo. Come on. Because the covenant will be in effect. What covenant? I will do what he says for me to do. The covenant doesn't say I can do anything and he'll back me up. Right? I hope if I haven't done anything, I have challenged you a little bit and hopefully at least empowered you just a little bit. I am required to increase your faith. That's what the Bible says I must do. I have to increase your faith. I hope I've increased it in the value of your word. Your word to God seems to be earth-shaking. Your word to God shakes the earth. Not only for you, but for others. This word that you guys sing today says the host of darkness trembles when we walk their way. Now all you have to do is believe that that is a word from God for you, and your covenant is, I walk. You sang that there's a great and mighty army in the earth today. That would be today. That has to include you. Do you feel like a great and mighty army? Well, maybe that's what this is about. It says that you are dressed in splendid armor. Splendid armor. I can see those Afghans, the Taliban, out there with a pop gun. One bullet and a gun. The Barney Fife Army. A long sword and a rag around their head saying, woo-hoo, we serve Allah. Praise be to Allah. As we're slitting their throats. And they see one of our stealth bombers go, and they see one of those crazy bombs that goes in and blows up stuff 20, 30 feet under the ground. I wonder if that looks like splendid armor to them. I wonder if they look at our army and say, I wish I was a little more like that. That wouldn't be over there if our nation didn't say, in God we trust. It wouldn't be there. God has not left us or forsaken us. He's put us in full array. And all we have to do is believe it and shout the victory. How do you shout the victory? Listen to me. The victory is mine. And I give all glory to God. The victory is mine. And I give all glory to God. And I say that until I can't hardly stand myself. I am so full of God that I just nearly want to leave. Are you hearing me? I get so excited about who I am in Christ Jesus that I wonder if everybody else is going to think I'm full of me. How much more ways can I say that? You hear me? God's a good God. Now all He's doing is looking for a good people that will stand behind their word. Everybody understand that? Well, stand up. Next week I'll just bombard you. The next time we meet, won't be next week. Debbie's got the service next week, remember? You need to bring people. Please remind her of the covenant we've made with her, that she will be more blessed than we are by her presence. Remember that? That's our covenant to her. She doesn't even know it, but every time it affects her. So the next time we meet, I'm going to bombard you with Scripture that proves to you by the covenant what is in the covenant. Does that sound good? Okay. Now I'll ask you if all hearts are clear. I didn't ask if you were ever called a Christian. I didn't even ask if you gave your heart to God. What I am asking you is that if God came today, would your relationship with Him be so trustworthy and so intimate that He would not say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? We know God by relationship with God. We have formed a relationship with God by exchanging words. You know that, don't you? That's called a covenant. Whatever He says, I'm for. And I tell Him that often. And He tells me what He's for. And I say, "Yes, sir, you're right, always." That's an exchange of words. Is everybody here clear in that area? Or do you need to make some commitments or recommitments to God, this time meaning every word of it? If you don't want to come and take care of it here, let me highly suggest to you that as this day goes on and as tomorrow goes on, did you know that God is faithful to come and touch those areas in your life that are not quite right? Don't worry about it. It don't have to be so bad that it needs to be exposed. It's not important. What's important is that God is so faithful and He loves us so much that He touched those areas in our life and we can take care of them. We can make covenant after covenant after covenant. As He writes, the Bible says, the laws on our hearts and our minds, that is an explanation of what He desires for us and from us. That's the new covenant. That'll be the next one. Probably the third part. What is the covenant? The covenant, the new covenant, we'll talk about the old and the new. The new covenant is His writing, His law on our hearts and minds. And then we'll go into detail about what that does and what it means. This is going to be good. It's going to set me free. It's going to set you free. And more than that, it's going to set some others free. Do you know, and everybody in here, the reason God speaks to you daily when you come here is because He's interested in touching someone else, not just you. This isn't all about you or me. This is about the future. This is about all of those that are going to flock to this place and your position to them. You can be life and death or you can be a curse. It'll be your choice. Nothing will excite you more than giving somebody life. Amen?
For years and years, I have had a little difficulty with that whole area of interpretation and interpreting
yes.
The Spirit. And when Aaron was in the Spirit, the Word did, and the concept of speaking with authority kept coming to me when he was speaking with the Spirit. And I was like, stand back, Ted. Go interpreting her. And Harry said to you, he said, your word. And so God keeps telling you during your sermon to give corroboration for what Harry was saying in the Spirit was about walking in authority, walking with the authority of God. And what you said about covenants is the only way you can have that authority when you make that covenant. Then you can walk absolutely unafraid, with authority, with no timidity. And by the very end of your sermon, you said the word timid about the CEO. And through this whole thing of, oh God, you know, I couldn't be interpreting anything. I didn't feel ever that I had that gift or anything like that. And I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying that whatever Harry said came to me as walking with authority, speaking with authority, not being afraid, not being timid anymore, coming out full force with whatever God has laid on your heart to be able to share that to everyone else.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It just was so profound, though, what he's saying. And all I wanted to really do here was say, there is interpretation, there is that word, there is that word of knowledge. And Harry was speaking, I didn't understand the language he was speaking in, but but I understood the language you were speaking. And when he said you would say it, I just wanted to corroborate for everyone that what God was telling me Harry was saying is what you said. And he was right, and God is right. And amen.
Amen. That's good. All it meant is you weren't too sure what you were doing, but you know it was okay. Yeah. Right? Turned out good.
But he just keeps coming to me. We have to speak with authority.
Yeah. You know why?
We have the best God, the greatest God, all powerful. We don't have to sit back and be timid. We really are that army. We really do have that duty.
Duty.
In our, as a warrior.
Duty.
And then we really are a warrior that will win.
Okay. Remember this. I want to win. You know, I don't think anybody in here wants to be a loser, right? And we won't be. We have the covenant. We have the law that says we won't be losers. But here's what it's about. I can say it's a team effort. That's fine. If you've been in the football team or you've been in the military or you've even been in some pretty strong corporations, you already know what team effort is. Let's don't go there. What this team is about is for the lost. Now, let me tell you something. I've told you from the beginning that this church is designed to minister to ministers. That's what this is all about. It's what God has called us to do. Now, we're going to get some people saved. But you know who we're going to really deal with? Ministers that are lost. A very, very strong contingent in the church of God. And yet never spoken to or about. Ministers that fall into having affairs. Fall into stealing the church's money. Fall into the lying, into the manipulation, into the witchcraft. Because they've never been taught that their word is what saves people. Their word to God, the covenant, causes salvation. It's a thing we're going to go into. But we need to remember that. This is not about us. This is Deuteronomy says that if we diligently listen and obey, the blessings will overtake us. Remember, overtake means that you're going on no matter what. Why are you going on? Because there's somebody. We have to care as much as Jesus did. There's somebody out there that's depending on you and you and you and you and you. They're depending upon that. Their life depends upon your covenant with God. How many? Hey, why don't we just go for it and find out? Why don't we quit questioning and just go for it and find out? Everybody in agreement?
Yes.
That their full hearts are clear. I turned a short message into a long one. Let's pray. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. We proudly proclaim that. As we said in that CEO's presence, we do more than love you. We trust you with all of our hearts. With everything we are, we trust you. God, we are preaching your word. We're teaching your word. As we do this, we're making greater and stronger and more everlasting covenant with you. Therefore, your word is more invoked than when we walked into this place. We expect to see signs and wonders follow. We expect to see the blessings come, not so that we can fly over and bomb, but so we can land and show our splendid array to the lost and dying, so that we can help those that are in such need of help and sometimes not even knowing that they have this need. We love you, Lord. We want you to be exalted in everything we say or do. And the only way we know how to do that is for you to show yourself strong through us. And then we give you the glory and the honor. That we stand up, whether it be in a group of one or on television to millions, we say, what you've seen here today, give glory to God. It has nothing to do with a man. It has to do with a man that follows and is in covenant with God. And if you will do that, the same thing that I do, you'll do also even more. We can say as Jesus said, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Today, tomorrow, forever. Every corner we go around, there is God. Every place we sit, there is God. Every place we stand, there is God. Therefore, there is no chance of a need of fear. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We're going to be used up by something in this world. We volunteer and ask you, Lord, to use us up for your honor, for your glory. Let the word that's been spoken here today sink deep in the heart. Let it be a seed that bring forth a harvest that you have so delicately and intricately planned out. Let it bring forth that harvest that reaches thousands and tens of thousands. We give you thanks in advance for this church being full three times over by the end of this year. We give you thanks in advance that it's done, that the money's come in so that we can minister mightily to those that are in need, and those are in need according to your will, not ours. That signs and wonders will follow because, not because of church growth, but because of our growth in this church. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Let everybody here be touched. Let them be ministered to. Let them be wiser. Let them be more powerful. Create in them a greater hunger and thirst for you. And for these things we know are successful, we give you thanks, honor, glory, praise, forever and forever, in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Where's Jonathan? Oh, he's out. Oh, don't forget the sign-up sheet. Somebody's depending on you next week.